The government has today published its long-awaited planning legislation, which aims to overhaul the planning process here, speeding up judicial reviews and establishing a new planning commission. Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, is piloting the legislation. He joins us now from our Dáil studio. A very good afternoon to you, Minister.
Thank you, Brian.
To the
good afternoon.
Now, there's quite a few different elements to this bill which you've published today. You're going to, as we've said, replace On Bord Pleanála with a new commission. You're looking at statutory timelines for planning decisions, about extending the lifetime of local development plans, and also changing the way judicial reviews to On Bord Pleanála planning decisions can be taken. Now, if we could just focus on that to start, how is that going to change? Who would be able to take a judicial review under this legislation if it's passed, and how would that process be altered from what's the position at the moment?
Yes, certainly, Brian. Look, firstly, what we published today is a very important piece of planning legislation, and it's the biggest overhaul of our planning system and indeed our planning legislation in over 20 years. And the purpose of it is to bring about an efficient, effective and really importantly a more transparent planning system that's actually fit for purpose for a modern day Ireland, that can actually support communities, support individuals, but support our state in delivering the really important infrastructure that we need, no less so in housing. And I think we've seen over the last number of years, particularly since the, if we go back to the Planning Act 2000, Brian, that many changes have been made to that have brought about significant grey areas. Now, central to this will be, you know, people having a right to have their say, and that's going to be absolutely protected within that.
Yeah, but the process that touches on that is our changes to how judicial reviews will operate. What are those changes?
Well, what we're looking at here is effectively where a judicial review relates to a decision. It's actually, you know, a residence association, you know, we and individuals within that area will absolutely be able to take a judicial review. We're setting out a more transparent way of doing this, that people know who those are, the people are who are taking judicial reviews. And in many instances, by the way, Brian, they're important. Like, I think one of the issues that we've seen a big increase in judicial reviews, to be fair to communities out there, is because of what was the strategic housing developments, that fast-track planning process.
And that's gone.
Which I actually, well, and just on that point, if I could say, that's really important. That's the context. Like, that is gone now. And we've actually seen a significant reduction in judicial reviews because I've brought planning back to the local authorities.
Right. But nevertheless, to take a case, the legislation says that somebody must have a sufficient interest, be directly or indirectly materially affected by the matters to which the application relates.
Yes, and I think that's fair. This legislation, I think people will understand that you know, you have to have a strategic interest in it. You'd have to be, you know, be deemed that it would have an impact on you or indeed on your community. And really that deals, we don't talk about specific cases, but your listeners will be well aware of instances where we may have had someone who is unconnected completely with a development in an area, it could be 200-400 miles away, have been able to hold up projects.
So they won't have any standing in the judicial review process.
If someone can actually show, you know, that which we'll outline where their interest is in this, if there's a strategic or national interest, obviously we'll still have full environmental.
They may have environmental concerns.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, Brian, and you're perfectly right.
But they'll also...
Just on that, Brian, if I could say, not to cut across you, I'm sorry for that. Like, we're still looking at the environmental impact assessments, appropriate assessments, all absolutely being central. What this is about is making the system more efficient, and it's actually about continuing the reform agenda.
But is it also restricting the access that people will have to the courts? Because, for example, to take a case, you'd have to have what's described as a legal personality, be incorporated as a company, have no fewer than 10 members, have existed, I think, for at least 1 year.
Yes.
Now, that might be a difficult bar for residents' associations to meet, for example.
Well, look, it takes full account, has been taken in relation to the Our House provisions in relation to access to justice. And it just seeks to bring very much needed clarity to the role of different parties in accessing that justice. It's not about restricting, it's about transparency. And in fairness, we've consulted widely on this through the Planning Forum. The legislation itself, which is very sizable, it runs to well over 600 pages. This is just one element of it. Like, we're bringing in, you know, statutory timelines, which is really important. We've seen lots of planning decisions being overdue for far too long that have held up homes, held up roads, held up rail infrastructure. All of those really important things that we need as a society to be able to meet the challenges that we have as a government. And really importantly in that, Brian, we're moving towards a plan making rather than in a planning application making. So that what that means is that communities need to be involved at the very start. There's no surprises just, in what should be happening in their area.
And I mean, we can talk a bit more of that in a moment, but just in relation to this judicial review change, have you the backing of all the parties in government for this, including the Green Party?
Absolutely. And
they're behind it.
Absolutely. And we've just to say, we've had really extensive consultation with government colleagues right the way through this process. Really importantly, what happens next, the bill's just published today, it will go to the Joint Oireachtas Committee for pre-legislative scrutiny, and rightly so, where stakeholders and people with interest will be able to have their say on the published
legislation. So we're some months at the very least away from
I'd like to get, to be honest with you, I'm ambitious to get this through. There will be pre-legislative scrutiny. We need, I think most people will understand that the planning system as it currently is in existence needs updating, needs to be more efficient and needs to be more transparent.
Is our board plan all at the moment making any decisions on large housing projects?
Yes. I met with the board myself, and the new board members, and we've had, look, people will know that there have been very significant issues with regard to the operation of Mbor Planola over the last number of months, but I have a new chairperson, new deputy chairperson in place.
So it can
function, new board
then.
Members. Yes, it is functioning.
So then what about the more than 28,500 homes in a report today in large developments that are awaiting planning decisions from Mbor Planola?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Brian, I met with the board and they are bringing a plan forward in relation to tackling the backlog that is there. There are many applications that are long overdue.
And what's their plan?
That I want to say, well, I met them last week, Brian, on this because the new board has just been constituted and we've the
but
new...
But you said they're bringing forward a plan. What's the plan?
Well, they are. But they've assessed what is outstanding and what is at hand to look at what we can prioritise and how we can actually tackle the backlog that is there. I think it's appropriate for the new chairperson of Mbor Planola, who's only been in place a matter of weeks, for her and her team to come forward with their plan to me. Now, what I would say is that things are still moving through. Like, you'll see that's borne out on the completion data for last year, for 2022. Like, we delivered 29,851 new homes last year. And that far exceeds the target that we set in the first year of Housing for All of 24,600. Now, we need to do more, but there's been much talk in relation to targets and what would happen.
Yeah, and the Taoiseach, we've exceeded the Taoiseach it substantially. The Taoiseach has been talking about this, and the Dáil this week, he's been admitting that last year's social housing targets will not be met. Now, what is the expected shortfall there on social housing?
Well, I think, and the Taoiseach has clarified this as well, that the social housing target we have for delivery for 2022 was a very challenging one at 10,500 overall. New builds, I'd expect our new builds to be in the region of 7,500 to 8,000, which is up about 3,000 on the previous year. And which it means if we deliver those, we'll have the final figures at the pretty much the end of February, because we haven't got all the figures in from our local
authorities. There will be a shortfall on the social housing front.
There'll be a significant increase in delivery. What we're talking about,
in terms of the target, there'll be a shortfall. Can you tell us how far short it will fall?
The overall target for last year has been exceeded.
Yes, and we have
across
that.
The board. Really important. Affordable homes for the first time in a generation. People buying them last year through the first home scheme, through local authority-led affordable and new cost rental. Now, to get to your question, we'll have the final figures when we have all the returns back from the local authorities. And as is normal in any year, that's published at the end of quarter one. But what I can say, and to give you this indication, is the new builds that we will deliver and the overall social housing delivery, and I can confidently say this to you, will mean that in 2022 we'll have delivered more new social homes than we've done in decades, in nearly 50 years.
But it'll still really be important. Short. It'll still be short, Brian, of the target you set.
I think, in fairness, most people with a fair mind will also understand that there were issues with supply chain, construction inflation, material, particularly post the breakout of that awful war in Ukraine. We addressed that.
But that doesn't seem to have affected the overall target. So why has there been this failure on the social housing front?
Well, no, I'm going to push back a little bit on that, Brian. This is not a failure on social housing when we deliver more social homes than we've done in 50 years. Housing for All has brought about a step change in housing delivery where the state is the biggest deliverer of housing. Cost rental, state-backed affordable homes, long-term secure rental for the first time ever. Affordable purchase for people who've been locked out of the housing market for 15 years.
All right.
And the first home scheme, nearly 900 approvals already in just 6 months. They're about real people for real homes.
Talking about targets, the Housing Commission, according to a report in the Irish Times, says, and I think this is a report that was made available to you, the Irish Times reports last November, says we'll need not 29 or 33 or 40,000 homes a year to meet demand up to 2050, but actually upwards of 62,000. Are you going to have to significantly revise now and increase the Housing for All targets?
Well, firstly, I established the Housing Commission. It was a commitment in the programme for government. They're doing excellent work and they'll report in full to me by July this year. And that's about looking at housing in Ireland, as you rightly said, to 2050. Our housing targets under Housing for All are set every year to 2030, and we've to build up the capacity to deal with them. Now, the targets we've set are baseline targets, and that's proven in our delivery last year. We targeted 24,600 and we delivered just short of 30,000 new homes. Now, I'm not going to be complacent about that. I know we need more. And this year, we want to exceed our target also. So in relation to the Housing Commission...
But just to help our listeners, the Housing Commission, the point the Housing Commission makes is that the existing targets and the formulas you use for coming up with them don't take sufficient account of population growth, including as a result of migration, and the decline in household size.
Yeah, I think to be fair as well, when Housing for All, which by the way wasn't just our own plan, we'd hundreds of submissions to the plan from stakeholders right the way across the board, many of whom actually sit on the Housing Commission, which I established. That preceded the census data, which we don't have the full data on that, but we're carrying out a review, not just of Housing for All, but also the National Planning Framework.
So you would accept that these targets will have to go up?
I think what I would say to you is this, is we've got to build capacity. And people are seeing that now around the country. Not everyone's feeling it, okay? But to go from a jump of 2021 of only 20,000 new homes being built to basically 29,851 new homes being built last year, I think is a very significant step in the right direction.
Minister,
it is not enough, and I'm ambitious to do more, and I want to blow those targets out of the water as we keep going. But they're challenging times, but we'll stay focused on delivery.
Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, thanks for talking to us on the programme.